Hello, everyone. It's Bill Thompson, T-Bill, and welcome to Plain Market Talk, where I will provide a straightforward interpretation and analysis of current market news based on my background as a retired Wall Street stockbroker with almost 50 years of experience. And I will also provide business lessons to help you become much more successful with your personal finance, trading, and investments. So let's get started. Hey everyone, it's Bill Thompson, T-Bill. Welcome to Plain Market Talk. Today's Wednesday, January 17, 2024. Okay, it's 12:01 in the afternoon Eastern Time right now. Markets are down slightly, but not too much going on. We have the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 0.11%, S&P 500 down 0.57%, NASDAQ Composite down 0.87%. Okay, we've now moved into earnings season. Plenty of things can certainly happen over the next couple of weeks, but the big focus of the market will actually be in 2 weeks. We have five big technology companies reporting their earnings, and also the next meeting of the Federal Reserve's Federal Open Market Committee. Okay, so the key there, the companies to look for would be, first of all, Tuesday, January 30th. If I have it right from memory, we have Microsoft reporting after the close of business, reporting earnings, and we have Google reporting, better known as Alphabet. So we got those two on Tuesday, January 30th. We then have on Thursday, February 1st, we have Apple reporting, again, after the market close, and also Meta, also known as Facebook. So we got those four reporting. The fifth big technology company, even though it's more retail, but investors put it in as technology, is actually Amazon. They haven't announced the earnings release date yet, but it's expected to be possibly as early as February 1st, Thursday, or possibly as late as Tuesday, February 5th. So those five companies the markets will pay attention to. I'd have to check the latest numbers, but I know those five in value made up anywhere from 20 to 25% of the total market value of the Standard & Poor's 500 index. Although I think Google lately might be being replaced by NVIDIA in that calculation. I know NVIDIA is reporting about the third week in February, so that'll be another one to look out for. But anyway, those five big technology companies will be reporting about 2 weeks. And right in the middle of that, on Wednesday, January 31st, we will have the second day of the two-day Federal Reserve Open Market Committee meeting. And at 2:00 in the afternoon Eastern Time, they'll issue their policy statement. Markets will be looking at that to see what they might do with interest rates going forward. So 2 weeks from now will be a big week. Okay, so what we're going to do today, I got some other things to talk about, but I want to continue on with these new Bitcoin exchange-traded funds. I want to talk about a little bit more about some things to look out for with these things and where you can find more information. So we'll get to that in just a few minutes. All right, we do have some other news out there. We had the Emmy Awards Monday night. Had a couple of big winners, that comedy show, The Bear, over on FX, and that also a show, Succession. Now, the financial impact of the Emmy Awards is moderate. Back in the day, I actually had a somewhat small part in the funding of several Academy Award-winning movies. I actually still have the original paperwork, actually, for quite a few of them. But anyway, yeah, the I know with the Grammy Awards, it's also coming up. The financial impact to the big entertainment companies like Warner Brothers and so forth was more limited because there's just less money involved. You know, it might cost $1 million to record a new, I call them albums, still regards format, for a major artist. And you would definitely get a financial push from winning a bunch of Grammy Awards. The artists especially, with ticket sales, merchandise, and streaming and everything else. But it was more limited to the companies. The Academy Awards used to be a big impact, though. You know, you got some movie. The nominations are coming out next week for the Academy Awards. You get some movie suddenly gets nominated for all these Academy Awards. It was a big financial impact to that movie. And it could have a financial impact to the overall companies also, whether it's Comcast, Sony Universal, Discovery, Warner, Disney, whatever. The Emmys are kind of in the middle. There is some impact, but not as much. But anyway, so we got that news coming up. All right, so we got a few other things here I wanted to talk about. Yeah, China today. Government announced China's population has declined now for the second year in a row, and Chinese markets are down on that. I talked about that last couple of sessions that, you know, China, the world's second largest economy after the United States, although quite a bit behind, actually. They're now beginning to see stagnating economic growth and may even begin to see a decline in their economy due to not only an aging population, but also now a shrinking population. And so that news came out today from the China's National Bureau of Statistics, and they did announce that the population has declined by about 2 million people from the year before, but still declining, and it's also an aging population. As I've talked about in the past, of any major economic power in the world, the United States has the youngest population, and that is a benefit to us going forward. All right, so we had that news. Yeah, I got this news also. For the first time, Apple has overtaken now Samsung as far as mobile phone, smartphone sales. So that news, you know, whether they'll keep that or not, we'll have to see. But so now number one, as far as worldwide sales of smartphones is Apple. They've got, it looks like 20% share of the market. Samsung ended with 19.4%. There's some Chinese companies actually come in third, fourth, and fifth. They have some pretty big percentages of the market also. But anyway, so we had that news. A couple of other things here. Retail sales. We'll talk about that. Retail sales for the month of December went up 0.6% as holiday shopping exceeded expectations. So that's good news for the market and the economy. 70% of the U.S. economy is actually consumer spending. So consumers are continuing to spend. So we had that news also. And I know the malls did really well, partly because Christmas was on Monday. And, you know, a lot of people have to wait till they get paid on, you know, Thursday or Friday to do their last minute shopping and ordering online. They may not have received things in time. So people went to the malls. So malls did really, really well. All right, I got one other thing here I want to talk about, and we'll move on to those Bitcoin exchange-traded funds. Saw a new term I hadn't seen before, new collar. For years we've had what are called blue-collar workers, you know, construction workers, whatever, and then we have white-collar workers, you know, office workers, college degree-type jobs, and then I see this term, new collar. It's a term being given. It's showing there's a lot of growth in this category. What new collar is, that's where you have specific training, like technical training, but not especially a college degree. An example, like maybe you wanted to become an x-ray tech, right? So you spend 2 years at x-ray school and then become an x-ray tech. So you're kind of in the middle. You're not really white collar with the college degree, but you're not blue collar either. So apparently there's a lot of growth in this area. So it's something to keep an eye on. I've always been a big advocate that there's multiple ways to have a successful career. I have 5 college degrees, but there's many other ways that besides going to college. I mean, for me, it was the best thing I ever did. Not only did I get the education, but also, you know, college education can teach you a discipline of thinking. But I come from a family of blue-collar workers, and we still have a shortage of bricklayers, carpenters, welders, everything else. And then also, apparently, there's a big hiring now going on in this middle category, now being called new-collar. So we have that out there also. Okay, so let's talk about these exchange-traded funds, Bitcoin. What I mentioned last time, they are mutual funds where your money's pooled together with other investors, and what happens is that you trade them, though, on a stock exchange, New York Stock Exchange, for the most part. Okay, so without trying to bore everybody in too much detail, I'm going to go ahead and 11 of them were approved last week by the Securities and Exchange Commission, and I think one or two had been trading already using what are called futures contracts, but these are trading what are called spot contracts. They're actually buying Bitcoin. All right, so without boring everybody with too much detail, let me just run down the list again quickly, and then I want to talk about more details on these things. All right, so here they are, no particular order. I'll give you the name and the trading symbol. All right, we have Grayscale, trading symbol GBTC, George Boy Tom Charlie. We have Invesco Galaxy, BTCO, Boy Tom, Charlie Oscar, Wisdom Tree, BTCW, Boy Tom, Charlie William, Valkyrie, BRRR, Boy Ralph, 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 Vanek, V-A-N-E-C-K, H-O-D-L is their trading symbol, Henry, Oscar, David, Larry, Franklin, it's Franklin Templeton, EZBC, Edward, Zebra, Boy, Charlie. We have iShares, I and then shares following it, one word, IBIT, Ida, Boy, Ida, Tom. We have Fidelity, Wise, Origin, FBTC, Frank, Boy, Tom, Charlie. We have ARK, ARK, ARK 21 shares, sorry, ARK space number 21, followed by the word shares. ARKB, Apple, Ralph, King, Boy. And we have Bitwise, BITB, Boy, Ida, Tom, Boy. And then Hashdex, one word, hash, and then DEX. DEFI, David, Edward, Frank, Ida. Okay, so we have those. All right, so what's happened? Bitcoin's had a big run-up in the anticipation that these would be approved because the idea they buy into Bitcoin. It's a way to buy into Bitcoin with small amounts of money. And you can go in piecemeal, sell piecemeal, and so forth. All right, so you could check the prices of these individually, but they trade like stocks. So, you know, if you're doing it through a brokerage firm, you'd want to check any commissions or fees that might be involved. But the key is Bitcoin had a big run-up leading up to these, but Bitcoin's been down about 1.23% since these started trading last week. And that happens a lot. You know, you get things run up on anticipation. Then when the news hits, things come down. But that's just temporary. So all right, here's some things to watch out for these things, though. The expenses. That's going to be a key here. All right. So one thing, if you want to get a lot more detail on each of these individually, that would be what is known as a prospectus, P-R-O-S-P-E-C-T-U-S, one word, prospectus, sorry. So what you could do is just take a search engine like Google or whatever you like to use, type in the name of that, you know, fund that you're looking at, followed by the word prospectus, and you should be able to find it fairly easily, because these are publicly traded. And this is a very detailed financial statement, not just financial, just lots of other stuff on there that these companies are required to issue to the public before they begin trading. All right, so you should be able to find that pretty easy. Like if I type in the Invesco one, just as an example, Invesco Galaxy, okay, hold on. I just picked that at random, no other reason. All right, and I type in prospectus. It may come up under the SEC official name for a prospectus. I mean, we all call it a prospectus, but yeah, it's actually a form S-1/A. And let's see here. Yep, there it is. It comes up under the Securities and Exchange Commission site, sec.gov, and it's listed as form S like Sam. -1/A like Apple. So anyway, but yeah, when you bring those things up, they have a ridiculous amount of detail in it. But one thing that's hard to find in a prospectus are the expenses. All right, so mutual funds, I'm gonna talk about this in more detail going forward, but for now, mutual funds have expenses. They pay commissions to, or fees to buy and sell the underlying investment. The portfolio managers that run these things, they have to be paid, they get paid. Mutual funds will actually tie in marketing expenses in there, you know, advertising expenses, all kinds of stuff. And you gotta be careful because with some mutual funds, the total expenses, when you add everything up, it can be over 2% sometimes. So what does that mean? Well, if the underlying investments return 11% a year, and there's 2% worth of expenses, then you as the investor are earning 9% a year. If the mutual fund loses, you know, 6% the next year, you're losing 8% because the expenses are still there. All right, so I did check on some of these. It looks like as far as the management fees, most of them are pretty low in the range of 0.3% of 1%, 0.4% of 1%. I think the reason is these are more like index funds, which I'll talk about in more detail. They're not actively buying and selling, researching stocks. They're just buying Bitcoin. It's like you're just being, you know, paying somebody just to buy Apple stock for you. Well, it doesn't take a lot of effort to that versus paying somebody to go out and find good investments for me. So and a lot of them looks like they're waiving their fees for the first several months. I don't think that's a regulatory thing, but maybe it is, but I hadn't heard of that. But anyway, so the management fees look like they're pretty low, so that's not something to really be too concerned about. But I'd be careful with the marketing expenses, transaction expenses. That would be something to keep an eye on. The other thing, exchange-traded funds I mentioned last time, in upwards-moving markets, they trade above the value of the investments at a premium. Downwards moving markets at a discount. And from what I've seen, a couple of these have been out there like Grayscale for a while, and they said in the prospectus, they've been trading at a premium for a long time. All right, but here's how you can do some research. It's something you would do over time. All right, so here's what you do with these. You know, a lot of them just came out last week, but here's an easy way to do this before I wrap it up. You can compare the movement of Bitcoin over like a 6 month time period, right? Whatever. And then compare the price movement of the specific exchange-traded fund, those I just mentioned. That'll give you an idea of possibly what the expense ratios are. It'll also give you an idea how much it's trading at a premium. So, you know, we'll say over a year's time, you know, Bitcoin goes up 17% and this fund goes up 15%. Well, it gives you an idea. It's probably got about 2% total expenses. So that might be a way to do it. All right, so we're going to wrap things up for today. Hope everyone's doing well. Again, Bill Thompson, T-Bill, and I'll talk to everybody again soon. Take care. See ya.